John only has one chapter. So, way over near the end of the Bible, almost next to the last book of the last book, next to Jude, there, the book of 3 John. Now, I'm going to read you a verse that I've thought about this week. I read a little article in it on our daily bread that got me to thinking about this subject. And I believe the Lord directed my heart to this because of it being Father's Day. And I'd like to bring a Father's Day message from a different angle than I ever have before. Or I don't know if I've ever even heard it from this angle or not. But the Father makes a statement here. And he begins to write, you know, these well-known verses here in 3 John. And he says, makes a statement here in verse number 4 that I'd like to read this morning and for you to think about. And you think about this, as a father to his kids. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Isn't that an amazing verse? Here's somebody who says, nothing thrills me anymore. Nothing brings more joy and satisfaction to my heart as a father than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. That's amazing, isn't it? Of all the things, I want to preach to you this morning for a few minutes on the subject, a father's joy. A father's joy. Flip back over to the book of Philippians, if you don't mind. Flip back to Philippians. That's a kind of a play on words there. It's Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. And you see these verses here that the Apostle Paul writes to his converts. And he's trying to get them to treat certain people a certain way. And he said in verse 20, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. That's chapter 2 and verse 20, verse 21. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him. He's talking about Timothy now. That as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Paul there called Timothy his son. Now, we know that Timothy wasn't Paul's literal, physical, biological child by physical birth. But since Paul was responsible for Timothy being saved, Paul said, he's my son. He's my son. Now, I want you to think about something that you may not have thought about it this way before, but I'm sure you'll agree with me. If a person's saved, they have three fathers. Three fathers if you're saved. If you're a Christian this morning, you of course have God as your heavenly Father, right? God's your Father. The minute you get saved, you become one of His children, and God is your Father. He's our Father, which art in heaven. He's our Father when you're saved. If you're not a Christian here this morning, God is not your Father. You have to be born into God's family, then God becomes your Father. Secondly, you have your natural earthly Father, your daddy. Now, we're told not to call no man on this earth our father in a religious context. So there is no such thing as a man walking around down here with a black robe on that we are to call father. That's not your father. Your father is in heaven, and your physical dad, your father, is either here on this earth or he's done passed on and gone on and went on to heaven or gone home to be with the Lord. That's your physical father. And then there is your spiritual father. The person who's responsible for you being saved. The person that led you to the Lord Jesus Christ is your spiritual father. Just like Paul was Timothy's spiritual father. You ever thought about that? That you actually have three people in father or represented by father in your life? God, your father in heaven. Your earthly father. And then, of course, your spiritual father, the one who led you to the Lord. The scripture that I read to you in 1 John was in a spiritual father sense, and he was writing to his converts saying, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. When you think about that for all three of these father avenues or aspects, it's really a wonderful, wonderful thought. Now, as I said a while ago, you ladies ought to be thankful for a man who loves you, who pays the bills, who's the father of your children, who is faithful to you. That's a great blessing. That's a tremendous blessing. Do you know that? Many, many times Christian ladies and Christian kids complain. And they say, well, my daddy's this, and my daddy didn't do this right, my daddy didn't do the other thing right, and complain and gripe about their kids. Well, I hate to say it, but you could have been married to O.J. Simpson. You ought to thank God for that man that you've got. Amen? A little weak there on that amen. That's true. I mean, it could be worse. Ain't that right? It could be worse. So thank God for the man that the Lord has given you. Now, we'll talk about the Heavenly Father. Now, did you know what? If this verse holds true all the way through, then God in heaven has no greater joy than to hear that His children walk in truth. I was thinking about that a while ago, and I was praying over there in my office. I was down on my knees praying right before Sunday school was over with, and I was asking the Lord, please, to bless this service. And I was asking the Lord to touch every one of your hearts. I was asking the Lord to move on every person here. I was asking the Lord to do like I always pray. And I thought, if that verse is true, my Father in heaven this morning looks down with joy when He sees me down here praying. That's a blessing to me. That's a blessing. Many times we get the idea that God is always about ready to wipe us out. That God has a hammer in one hand and a saw, a blade in the other hand. And buddy, He's just saying, I just dare you to mess up so I can just whop you up the side of the head, or I can do something terrible to make your life miserable. That's not the picture that the Bible presents of our Heavenly Father. It presents Him as a Father that loves His children, and that He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Can you imagine that we, just little dirt balls like us, that have nothing and came from dirt and going back, can you imagine that we can bring joy to the heart of God, the Creator of the universe? Isn't that amazing? That we can actually do something that would bring joy to the Creator of the sun, the solar system, the moon, the stars, all these things. We can bring joy to the heart of God. Thank God for that. Now, we want to think just for a minute about our spiritual father. I don't know if you know who is responsible for you being saved. Now, perhaps you were led to the Lord one-on-one by an individual. Perhaps it might be a couple of persons, I don't know. Perhaps it might be a preacher who was preaching when you got saved. Whoever that was, they are your spiritual father. And according to the Bible, a spiritual father can have no greater joy than to hear that his children walk in truth. I got to thinking about that. You know, we're always saying, boy, the greatest joy that a Christian can have is seeing another Christian get saved. Now, according to that verse, that's not really exactly right, is it? According to that verse, a Christian don't have no greater joy than to hear that those that he's already won, and those that he's already trained, and those that he's already seen get established in God, 5 years later, 10 years later, hearing that they're still walking right, doing right. There's no greater joy than that. Now, I don't say that seeing a soul saved isn't as great, but it's not any greater than hearing that your children walk in truth. I believe, according to the Word of God this morning, that when you lead somebody to the Lord, and you hear about them 2 years later, a year later, 5 years, 10 years, still walking with God, still doing right, that there is no greater spiritual joy in this world. Nothing can take the place of that satisfaction. I got to thinking about it. Now, if I led Brother David up here, say I led him to the Lord. Now, I didn't, but let's just say I did. Now, let's say I led David to the Lord. He would be my son in the Lord. And every time I'd be around him, I want to hear how he's doing. I want to hear if he's living right. I want to hear if he's faithful to church. I want to hear about it, if he's doing right. Now, let's say David led somebody to the Lord. Then that would make me a spiritual papaw. Ain't that right? I would be his spiritual granddaddy. Whoever he led to the Lord, I would be their spiritual granddaddy in the Lord. My spiritual father this morning is, of course, Brother Joe Parson. Brother Joe Parson preached the right revival meeting that I got saved in. It had to be him or Brother Hall Hollifield one who got me in. And those guys, I look to them as a spiritual father. No greater joy will they hear than to hear that their son, their children are walking in truth. I got to thinking about it last night as I was going over this in my mind. And I got thinking, well, let's see if this is true. And sure enough, I found that it was. I thought about Brother Gene Googe, who's down there preaching right now. Brother Gene's preaching right now. While I'm preaching, he's preaching. And brother, I'll tell you what, I'll guarantee you right now, Brother Gene is letting it rip, shelling the corn. I promise you right now, he's preaching the Word of God. He's the pastor of the Liberty Baptist Church in Hickory, North Carolina. I was preaching at Sunnyvale Baptist Church many, many years ago before there was a new manna, before this place ever even existed. And Gene got up and came to the altar as about a 19, 20-year-old man and got saved by the grace of God. I saw Brother Gene get saved. I saw the Lord work in his life. And Brother Gene was just like a son in the ministry to me. Brother Gene would come over to the house. Just like, you know how your kids are always around you asking you questions? Daddy, what's this? Daddy, what's that? Daddy, why's this? Daddy, why's that? Daddy, what? They ask so many questions. My girls ask so many questions. One day, Corey, my littlest one, she kept asking questions and asking questions and asking questions. And I think she could tell it was a little bit kind of getting on my nerves. And I didn't mean for her to think that because I always try to not make her feel like that. She said, Daddy, why's this? Daddy, why's that? Daddy, why's this? Daddy, why's that? Daddy, why's this? She's sitting in the back seat. You know, between the two front seats, actually, with her head stuck up there, you know, beside me. And she said, Daddy, why is this? Daddy, why? And finally she stopped for a minute. She said, Daddy? I said, what, honey? She said, why do I ask so many questions? That's amazing, man. That's amazing. How could somebody think of something like that? But anyway, that's the way children are. Now, Brother Gene would come over. I remember them boys coming over at my house, be waiting on me at 11 o'clock at night when I got home. They'd say, Preacher, what does this mean? Preacher, what does that mean? What does this verse of Scripture mean? What does that mean? Somebody told me this was work. At work. Is this right? Is that right? Is this right? Is that right? Boy, it was a thrill to my soul when a few years later, Gene stood up, up there in the old building, I believe it was, or right during that time on Sunday night, and said, God has called me to preach. That brought great joy to my soul. It thrilled my heart when I went down there and preached that Sunday morning at that church. I think I told them about Brother Gene. They called him. He became their pastor. And every once in a while, I was going down the road one day down in Morganton, turning on the radio on Sunday afternoon. I heard somebody screaming and hollering on there. And I said, man, that sounds good. Who is that? Sure enough, it was Brother Gene. And I tell you what, joy filled my soul. I have no greater joy than to hear that somebody like that, that I had a part in them being saved, walking on for God. Those are riches that nothing can take away. That's something the devil can't get from you. That's something, listen, if I lost everything I had today, I could still lay down on my pillow at night and say, thank God I got a lick or two in for the glory of God. There's a man standing for God. He's my son in the Lord. I thought about Brother Mike McDaniel. Brother Mike, no telling where this morning. He's preaching somewhere, I reckon. Do you know his whereabouts? In Georgia. He's off somewhere preaching. Brother Mike walked down the aisle up there in the old building one Sunday morning. He was about, I don't know, probably 19 years old, been on drugs, alcohol, been in trouble with the law, getting his life in just a big mess. And I'll never forget, he's sitting over on this side of the building. I preached that morning. Mike walked down the aisle like this, got down on his knees. He just started bawling. He stood up that morning, people shook his hands. Back then, you know, back up in the old building, I could stand back there at the back and shake everybody's hand when they come out. Remember, it used to take us 30 minutes to get out of there. I'd shake everybody's hand, hey, how you doing, all of that, you know, and now we got 7 doors going out of here, so when it's over, I just stand here, and I have found out now who really wants to shake my hand, about 4 people, and the rest of them just couldn't care less and go on. You was just being a hypocrite all them years, wasn't you? Being not, but I was too, so I got to admit it. But anyway, did you know something? Did you know? Brother Mike stood out there that day. He come out the door, shook my hand, and I'll never forget what he said. I remember this plain as day. He said, but Danny, I turned it all over to the Lord this morning. And he was tore up, man. He was tore up. I said, amen, Mike. That's a blessing. Well, that's been 16 years ago, I guess. Right now, he's somewhere in Georgia preaching or getting ready to preach, seeing hundreds of men saved in the prison ministry. That thrills me, buddy. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I think about Brother Ricky Bolick. He done the same thing. Walked up there to the altar on that Sunday morning back in 1979, about November the 11th or 12th along in there, that Sunday morning. Ricky had been running from the cops and wrecking cars and been in trouble with drugs and everything else. He was about 19 years old too. Got up, walked down to the aisle that morning to the altar, got down on his knees. God saved him. Right now, he's in Bulgaria this morning on the mission field, serving God, winning people to the Lord, influencing others. Hey, don't you think this old man right here can't get some blessings out of that, buddy? I'm telling you, when everything's going good and I have a flat tire, or everything's going bad and I have something terrible happen, don't you know I can kick in anytime I want to and think about them boys over there, and I have joy, 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 joy down in my soul, knowing that my children in the Lord are walking in truth. Brother Steve Durham, who I led to the Lord on the backside of Lake James over there one Sunday morning, one Saturday morning, Friday, something like that, he called me, said, "I need to get saved." I went over there, he'd been reading a gospel tract, took the Bible, he got down on his knees and got saved. He's recently become a pastor out there at the Bible Baptist Church. I think, thank God, hallelujah. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walking in truth. When you see them doing good years and years and years later, it makes it worth it. It does. It makes it worth it. All those times you put in for the Lord's work, all those hours you spent praying or reading that Bible, you don't see immediate results. But over the years, God starts letting you see things. Then let's think about our earthly fathers. I believe no greater joy does an earthly father have than to hear that his children walk in truth. As you know, I have three daughters this morning. Somebody said, I put in my order for a boy the very first time. They said, "It's all out of boys," and sent me a girl. Second one came along, I put in my order for a boy. I got back the same message. "We're all out of boys," sent me another girl. Third time came along, I said, "I know this will be a boy. I know it will." "It's all out of boys again." Sent me another girl. I don't know why the Lord done that to me, but he did. And I held it. First one about a little over 6 pounds. It's all right in that range. My arms, and I thought, here's a body that has to be fed. Here's a human being that has to have clothes. You know what? You'll do some growing up just like that when they lay that baby in your arms. Before you just, yeah, you know, what's going on? Yeah. Or you lay a baby in your arm and you go, "Oh, I am responsible for this thing. If it lives or dies, it's in my hand. I got to put clothes on it. I got to." If you'd have told me then all the diapers that I was going to have to buy, all the hose. You know what? I think that hose business is a cult, man. I do. If they can send a rocket to the moon, they could invent some hose that wouldn't tire if you look at them. They rub them on that thing right there and they'll run. The devil's in that somewhere or another. I guarantee. You know they could invent something that lasts longer than... I mean, wear them one time. My little girls, man, when they hit their knees like that, and there goes them little white stockings. I mean, big run goes right down through there. I mean, they used to put stuff on them... fingernail polish and everything else, trying to patch them up. Son, I've changed diapers on the morning, Sunday morning, being on the telephone, you know, with a diaper over here like this, you know, went up the road throwing them out the window. I mean, going up, I ain't kidding you. You say, "That ain't right. I ain't going to throw a nasty diaper in a $15,000 car. That'd be a sin." You're out of your mind. But your priorities are all screwed up. You think the earth's your mother. Oh, the earth ain't your mother. I hate to tell you, but I spit on your mother the other day. See, the earth ain't your mother, brother. The earth, your mother's your mother. Now, in case we have any tree huggers here this morning, I'm telling you, brother, there's more important things in this world than trees and frogs and the ozone layer and a spotted owl. Ain't that right? And one of them is your relationship to your children. Other people that always fight and say the spotted owl don't care how many babies are killed every day in this country by abortion. You're just a big hypocrite, what you are. You say, I don't like you. I don't like you either. I love you, but I don't like you. I want to tell you something, brother. Listen, our priorities are all messed up. No greater joy can a man have than to hear that his children walk in truth. Amen. Listen, you can make your daddy's heart swell with joy this morning by writing him a Father's Day card and saying, Daddy, I just want you to know that I'm right with the Lord. Your God has become my God. I believe what you believe. You can't have no, a daddy can't have no greater joy than that. No greater joy. No greater joy than that. I found both of my two littlest ones have a fever this morning. Chris had a fever 103 last night, and they had to take her down to the doctor's office and get some medicine for her and all. And this morning I found a little card laying on down in the kitchen when I came downstairs. And it's from them. It's one of them that they make it. You know, you punch it in at Walmart where you can put your own letters on it and put whatever you want to write. And they went out there the other day and made him, and boy, it thrilled my heart. And what thrills me more than anything is when I hear about one of them doing right. You know what thrills me? Now, here's where my girls are. The two little ones. Y'all know the middle one. She does these flips and stuff all the time. She can't go through the house without turning a flip. Just flip, 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 flip. Cartwheels, flips, flips, backwards, frontwards. Anyway, I mean, she can do all kind of things like that. And then the littlest one, she's always been a deep thinker. She really has. She's always, she can come up with things. And I hear them down there playing sometimes when I'm upstairs. And they'll sing that little song that Beth sang a while ago. Both of them to the top of their lungs. Like a mother loves a baby, like a shepherd loves his sheep, my Lord loves me. Like that, you know. And I'm upstairs, man, and my heart's just a busting, boy. I'm saying glory, hallelujah. Boy, that brings, there's no greater joy I have than to see my kids walk in truth. When I walked in Carrie's room a time or two and see her reading her Bible of her own free will, nobody making her, get her Bible out and read it. That thrills my heart. Thrills my heart. That's the best Father's Day. You know what? You know what thrills a daddy's heart? When he's means something to his kid. I used to come home. I believe it was Corey when she was real little, could barely talk. I'd be gone for a while. I'd go off to preach, you know, come back. She could just barely talk. She'd say, Daddy. I'd say, Hey, honey. She said, I've been looking for you. I'd say, well, what do you want? Milkshake? Ice cream? Toy? Hey, no greater joy does a daddy have. Amen. Have your daddies ever had you feel in church? You know, you come in, well, I'm home. And nobody even says a word or nobody. Man, that hurts, don't it? I mean, now, Chris is not as feeling as Corey is. So, Chris, I mean, I know she loves me, but she'd just say, Hey, Daddy, I'll let you know and everything. But Corey'd say, I've been looking for you. I'd say, ha, come up here and sit on Daddy's knee. So them other two don't get nothing. What do you want? Now, I love them all three. But I'll tell you, buddy, who's going to get the good stuff? Them that come up and say, I've been looking for you. You watch Carrie, she'll try that after service this morning, won't she? I can see her coming over me. I'm in my office. Daddy, I've been looking for you. I say, shut up. Get out of here. You're too old. That don't work when you're that age. But I want to tell you what. Let me tell you something, brother. No kidding. I was ready. I'd do anything to that kid. I got to thinking about that. I thought, listen, God loves all these. Oh, the Lord knows I love him. Yeah, but do you get down every morning, just bow your head and say, Lord, I've been looking for you. See, you think it don't matter if you pray or not. You think, oh, the Lord knows what I'm doing. He knows it. Listen, God's going to let His favor shine on them kids that bring joy and walk in truth and bring joy to His heart. I don't believe God loves anybody, any more of his children, more than does anybody else. Right? We all agree on that. But I'll tell you one thing, brother. That little kid that snuggles up to that Heavenly Father and says, "Well, I've been looking for you," and stays there and stays there, you watch God bless that person. You watch God bless them. Somebody said, "Blessed assurance, peace divine, my Father's God today is mine." Proverbs 15:5 said, "A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent." Best Father's Day present you could give your earthly father is to walk in truth. It makes me sick when I hear about one of my children, spiritually, physically, any of those children, messing up. Just gives you a sick feeling in your stomach, don't it? One of your kids get in trouble at school, or you know, do something they shouldn't. It just kind of tires you up. Now, that's the way God feels about you when you're doing things that you know that are wrong, and that you think, "Well, nobody's watching, nobody knows, I'm all right, I can handle this." See, you're breaking the heart of God. And he looks down and said, "Oh, what joy you could give me if you'd only walk in truth." Turn it right around. You know how your kids break your heart when they disappoint you? That's how you disappoint God, when you don't do what he wants you to do. You want to bring joy to the heart of God today? Wouldn't it be nice if the Lord looked down and said, "Hey, that kid brings me joy because they're walking in truth." A father's joy this morning is great when his children do what they're supposed to. Let's stand and bow our heads for prayer. Now our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. And no one looking around. No one leaving the building. This has kind of been a little bit of an unusual thought for a message. I understand that. But I believe with all my heart it's what the Lord wanted me to preach to you this morning. And maybe there's somebody here this morning that you'd say, "Preacher, I want to give my daddy the very best Father's Day present I could possibly give him. It's not money. It's not a set of golf clubs or a shirt or a car. I mean, all those things would be nice, but the greatest joy you could bring to your daddy's heart is to say, 'Daddy, I know I'm saved. I'm living right. And I promise you, I'll meet you in heaven one of these days. I'll be there.'" Oh, hallelujah. What a joy. And then there's daddies here this morning. Fathers, some of you that were up here a while ago. And deep down inside, you know that your Heavenly Father is grieved with your life this morning. Why do you want to continue grieving His heart when all you'd have to do is just surrender? You say, "Well, I got a lot of things I need to work out in my life." It'll never work out until you put God first. How about it, daddies? Maybe there's many daddies here this morning. Need to just slip out of your seat and come to the altar. Amen. One's already coming. Others are coming this morning. Maybe there's daddies this morning say, "Hey, just like I want my kids to please me, I'm going to try to please God and be a good child and bring joy to the heart of my Father." Heavenly Father, do what ought to be done in our hearts this morning. Lord, take this little simple message on the joy of a father and bring it home and let it find a lodging place in the hearts of these that are here. We'll praise you. We'll thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.